Ladies and gentlemen, we are now into hour number two of the Alex Jones Show, Monday, September 9th, 2024. And I am really excited about having this guy on. I've been a fan for decades, Dr. Drew Pinsky, MD, just known as Dr. Drew. Obviously, he's a medical doctor, hosts some of the most popular shows in mainstream media, and now alternative, that is the new dominant media. He's got one of the top podcasts and shows in the world, not just in medicine. You can find out everything about him and what he's simply doing on his website, and we'll be putting that on screen for all of you here today. There's so much I want to go over with him, and I sent him some questions, but when we learned we could get him on the show, I've been trying for years, I said, what does he want to talk about? Because I've certainly got a lot of really important questions I want to go over, and the aftermath of the COVID shots and the origins and Fauci and the new fear-mongering with the bird flu and the monkeypox, now they're calling it mpox, and the UN treaties, and you know, we've got the election and all the things that are unfolding right now. But just first off, it's great to have you, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you having me. And yeah, all of those things. I'm ready to talk about any and all of it, whatever interests you. I've been living it. That Ask Dr. Drew show you just put up there, we started that during COVID in the dark hours. My wife just said, you know, we ought to do a stream and tell people, you got to give people your thoughts about what's going on. I felt like the French underground, just giving information as I thought it was coming forward. And most of it was, of course, not in the mainstream media. And we slowly started moving over to interviewing people who had been canceled. And I'll be damned if I didn't learn something important from every single guest I spoke to, not the least of which was RFK Jr., of whom I was not a particular fan until he spoke to me. And I was like, this guy really makes sense. And at the end, and this is the point for this story, Alex, at the end, he said, you know, you're so courageous for speaking with me. And I was shocked. I thought, we live in a country now where a physician and a lawyer speaking in a public domain, you need courage to do that? Oh my God, we are through the looking glass. And since then, which was about 2 or 3 years ago, my absolute commitment is to free speech, and thus I am here.
And you're easy to find on X at Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, but you don't need any introduction. Let's talk big picture first. And I was going to actually ask you up front about attempts to cancel you, attempts to shut you down, because sure. You were, before the whole COVID hysteria, you had big issues with some of the problems, the liability protection of vaccines. But now the numbers are there. They admit at the Davos Group. They admit at the Clinton Foundation. They admit at John Hopkins that trust in the medical system is at all-time lows, not with individual doctors or nurses, but with those big studies out, as I'm sure you know, that in the past medicine had a confidence rate over 90% 30 years ago. And then it went down to 80, 70. Now it's at 40 or lower in polls. Can you just speak in general with decades and decades and decades and decades in practice, what's changed and why you think people have such a loss of confidence?
Yeah, Alex, this is a huge topic. So let me see. And please interrupt me if I go on too on about this, because I've lived it my entire career. It really started... It started with the assault on the physician-patient relationship. It was really the insurance companies that originally assaulted that. I will tell you a quick story about how egregious it became when the HMOs and the DRGs were kicking in the 80s and 90s. I had a colleague who was an excellent physician. He became an HMO administrator. I was running an addiction program in a freestanding psychiatric hospital at the time. And his program, his insurance resources, kept forcing us to send his patients out before they were ready. And I called him and I said, look, these detox, we got to do more with them. I'll tell you what, you name your price. I will use my resources to treat these people. This is too demoralizing for me and my staff. You name your price. And he goes, no, I just want a 3-day detox. And I said, do you mean to believe that after 3-day detox, these patients are okay and well? He goes, no. But if they detox 3 times and relapse each time, then they'll lose their job, and then they're no longer my concern. And I thought, oh my God, here we are. This is it. And that was 40 years ago or 35 years ago. And things have continued to deteriorate from them. The insurance industry played shenanigans that's a longer story. It's going to bore people if I get into it.
No, it's important. And people need to hear the process of your awakening.
All right, so here's what used to happen. So as time went on, I started recognizing what the insurance company's game was, And they would ask for, as soon as you'd admit a patient, they say, we need a doctor-to-doctor review. And that doctor-to-doctor would be some maniac out in Michigan, or just a clerk with a guidebook, if it wasn't even a physician, or maybe it was a nurse practitioner or something. And that person's job was to get the patient out of the hospital. And I would say, look, your criteria, my patient does not meet your criteria. They meet my criteria. I need them to stay. I'm sitting here watching this patient, and it's my judgment that it'd be dangerous for this patient to leave. Too bad. Patients told that their insurance has cut them off. They call the insurance company. The insurance company says, well, of course, if Dr. Pinsky would just give us the information, we'll of course keep you in the hospital. What they don't tell the patient is their criteria is what I need to give them, which were ridiculous and arbitrary, and the patient did not meet those criteria. Then patients discharge, or the patient stays and incurs a huge bill. Patient goes home, let's say, kills themselves. The insurance company says, we don't practice medicine. There's Dr. Pinsky's signature right there on the discharge order. So I make a complaint to the insurance commissioner about their practices. The next thing I hear is, oh, Dr. Pinsky, you don't like our business practices? I tell you what, we're not just going to decertify you. We will decertify the entire hospital. This was the game in the 90s. Now it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Now the doctors are now employees. What COVID showed us is so many of us are under the influence of adulterating influences that we didn't used to have to even think about. We thought only about the well-being of the patient in front of us. And now we have bosses, we have hospital administrators, we have regulatory agencies, and that's where things really go off the rail. And I'll tell you how that story works if you're interested. Do you want to know how the regulators mess everything up?
Of course, you're the expert. You've been through this. Right. And people need to know the de-evolution or evolution of this tyranny to where we now learned this year that $2.3 billion was given by the government, by the CDC and FDA, to pharmacies, mainly Walgreens and CVS, to not prescribe ivermectin and things that the doctors were prescribing. And now the feds have had to admit, okay, it did work. We suppressed it. We're sorry. We killed a bunch of people. So we've gotten to the point where big pharma, with kind of Bill Gates up at the top, who's not even a doctor, is deciding through these systems what doctors, nurses, and nurse practitioners can do. And then they also, again, hang you guys out to dry, decertify you, try to get you fired. Yep. I mean, this is really a very dangerous cartel.
It is dangerous, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. That, look, turning over all my cards, I'm not convinced ivermectin worked, but I will go to the mat to protect a physician who's got the patient in front of him or her, and it's their judgment that this is the right thing to do for that patient. We should all be going to the mat to protect that. And the reason there's deterioration in our trust in the physicians is because we have been so adulterated and can't do our work. And by the way, it's in the intellectual practice of medicine, not the surgical, interestingly. The surgeons, you can't interfere with the surgical environment when the doctor is making decisions in the surgical arena. He or she is just making decisions. They haven't figured out how to adulterate that yet, but trust me, they will.
If the trajectory of big pharma and the big corporations and insurance companies that control not just American medicine, but most prosperous nations, they've taken it over, on the trajectory they're going from 80% or 90% support decades ago to 40% in these big studies, and it's falling even faster, where does that trajectory go? Because they're only intensifying. They're not backing down. I mean, I've got Bill Gates. Well, I've got Tedros. I've got Hotez and all their little minions here in my stacks today. I've got Bill Gates bemoaning the First Amendment and saying we need to strengthen ways to shut down people. But everything he said about the shot, that it was safe and effective and that it would keep you from getting COVID or spreading it, that's now been admitted to all be a lie. They're the ones with the record of misinformation, disinformation. And then now they want to silence us because the truth's hurting them.
Look, one little glimmer of hope. In Newsweek today, they had an article that said that the misinformation is an assault on science. And you know who won if you want to open your history books and look at the biggest purveyor of misinformation in history, and which side of that do you want to be on? Do you want to be on the side of the group that attacked him, or would you rather be him, Galileo? Galileo was absolutely crushed as somebody not just in misinformed, but dangerously misinformed, a threat to the world order. And the Spanish Inquisition had their way with him. It's the same thing about COVID. Listen, COVID should be a great lesson for it. It certainly was for me. It was such a profound lesson. And one of the lessons I learned was I could never understand how people, average Germans, became prison guards. But I went to my hospital after about 6 months into COVID. I've been attending there for 40 years. And I went to get the vaccine, actually, but I couldn't get the vaccine because it was all kinds of weird criteria for getting it at that time. It was early in the vaccine distribution. And the doors to the hospital were locked. I held my ID up, and a young, freshly pressed out security guard opened the door and started screaming at me, "Where are your papers?" Screaming and carrying on. And I thought, oh my God, this is like a scene from a World War II prison, a border crossing. This is how people become prison guards. Whether you're calling Tim Walz's line where you're ratting on your friends for them having outdoor barbecues, or whether you took a position at a job where you were telling people to mask up or you were yelling at them about their papers, that's the prison guard. You became the prison guard, and you need to really look at that. Wherever we can, we need to examine our behavior through this and apologize. We need to apologize wherever we can. I look for every opportunity to apologize, and certainly I have plenty. I was not perfect, and I've got plenty of things I got wrong. I apologize, and I'll take each one and do so. But Alex, I want to go back to what you said about the regulators, because that's a really important story. And in terms of where the trajectory is going, it's going down, and it can go no other way. It's why I got involved with TWC, the wellness company, because Dr. Kelly Victor, who's also on our board, said to me one day, she goes, 5 years ago, this would have been crazy to get everything right to the patient, but now it's crazy not to.
By the way, let me just stop you there, because I should have brought this up at the beginning, and I apologize, drdrew.com, so they find all your amazing work, and on Exit, Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew Pinsky, MD, Chief Medical Board of the Wellness Company, that is the preeminent group with so many great doctors, but we've got Dr. Drew here on the board of it, and this is one of the good things Trump did, was to liberalize the public's ability for online pharmacies and online medical care and online consultations with doctors, nurses, practitioners, and other experts, and you guys have a billionaire backing you in funding, and I've used it. My family's used it. You're also the group's a sponsor. So I should have said up front here, instead of just being mad at the corrupt medical system and the big banks and the big insurance companies and governments and the WHO coming in trying to take control, the real revolution is in our choices and moving into this. And there has just been a giant move. I've got the numbers right here, massively, since Trump did this. One of the great things, because he believes in medical freedom. He wasn't great on pushing warp speed, but at least he said you shouldn't make people do it and you shouldn't make the military take it. He's now criticized it some and has kind of started walking it back. That's good, but absolutely, people need to take power into their own hands and go to onlinehealthnow.com. That takes you right to the wellness company, and that way they know it came from us, so we get some support from that. It's a win-win. Everybody should be doing this. And so I want you to start over. I interrupted you, Dr. Drew, and then talk about it, and then how great these services are. You guys have everything. It's not just stuff for COVID or monkeypox. It's everything at the wellness company.
We got a lot to get into, you and I, but we put together kits that people should have on hand for emergency, for infection outbreaks, for travel, things I give to my patients when they travel. We set it up in a kit, and you can have access to it with a simple telehealth visit. And there's all sorts of backup through telehealth and through, we have a guidebook that comes with it and how to use these medications. These are all things that essentially, many of them are over the counter throughout the world. You know how to use these things. You don't need to have somebody looking over your shoulder. You need guidance for it. You need somebody using their judgment to help you when there are questions. And we have all that. But you should have access to these things when you want them, and they should be ready to hand. But you mentioned, Alex, the Project Warp Speed. And let me frame what I'm going to say about the regulator thing by pushing back on what you said about Warp Speed. I'm going to say Warp Speed was a good thing. I'm going to say that in the darker hours of Alpha and Delta, we needed to do something in terms of a vaccine therapy. And we did it. And it was rather miraculous. And it was an extraordinary effort. And I'm here to tell you, I take care of lots of elderly patients, and they benefited. I did not see I saw one serious side effect, and that was in a booster, many boosters down the line. And they benefited, and I only lost one patient to COVID. Everybody stayed out of the hospital. My question about now is, why are you pushing the boosters when we have lots of great treatments and the immunity is way up for everybody and the boosters are starting to see side effects in elderly patients? What are we doing? But let's go back to the beginning. So let's say there was some positive to that. And let's even say that it was reasonable to try to use mitigation efforts to try to get us to a
vaccine. Let me be clear. I think Trump meant well, because even on the therapeutics, he tried to open the floodgates just like he did with telemedicine. Right. So, I mean, I know the thinking. I know what Trump did. Villains with Fauci and where the virus came from.
So this is what I'm going to help you with. And there's even a deeper and more interesting sort of wrinkle in this you probably not thought about, which is... And if you want, I'll go back to my excesses early in COVID and where I made mistakes. And one of my mistakes was that every comment I made early in the pandemic, I said, just listen to Dr. Fauci and listen to the CDC. They will get us through this. Because as they had behaved throughout my medical practice, they were quite useful. They abandoned every ethical and every epidemic guideline they had ever deployed. It was just shocking to me. And of course, when people criticized me, they cut off that part, which is actually the only thing I got wrong. But going back to the early days, the darker hours, the problem wasn't that any of this was underway, as you say. The thinking was good, the intentions were good. What's dangerous is when you have a physician or a physician group that becomes evangelical to a cause, not a religious cause, a medical cause. I'm going to show you how the opioid epidemic and COVID was exactly the same playbook. The opioid crisis is something I was fighting vigorously. I saw that happen. I could not imagine. It was very similar to me in terms of how I was behaving during COVID. I couldn't understand what was happening. It was killing my patients. It was disgusting. And I was getting sanctioned by all the regulatory bodies as somebody who was interested in patient suffering. I was old-fashioned. It was something that, you know, I had no business practicing. Because why? Because I wasn't giving my heroin addicts in withdrawal and opiate when they said they were uncomfortable. I mean, this is what I was being sanctioned for. Well, once that all settled down, and it was actually Jeff Sessions who put an end to it. I don't know if you know that. Yeah, I was at a symposium at the White House, and Jeff Sessions says, I know how to stop this. And exactly how he did it, he put a bunch of doctors in jail for excessive prescribing, and it stopped. And that is exactly how it started. It started in the 90s when doctors were sanctioned civilly or criminally for inadequate treatment of pain. The attorneys figured out how to get around malpractice and to go right after doctors' net worth and their freedom. But when that happened, physicians froze. And we were afraid to prescribe medication. We were afraid to get involved with it. And a discipline called pain medicine took over. And within pain medicine, there were evangelists who said, pain is the fifth vital sign. There should never be pain in America ever again. You're opiophobic if you don't prescribe as many opiates as you can and as many as the patient want. And immediately they started killing my patients by the hundreds. And the evangelical physicians went around the country and got the VA, the state medical societies, the insurance agents, the professional societies to adopt pain as the fifth vital sign. More important than your pulse. More important than your pulse. Pain is the fifth vital sign, and off it went. So when the regulators got involved, that's when the excesses come in. Think about now our striving to get to the vaccine. Where are the excesses with masking and lockdowns? Who are the evangelists? Dr. Birx, who runs around the country convincing regulators and governors that they must lock down their states or they're going to kill people if they don't. And that the evangelical physician is where the excesses came from.
And then all the surveillance and censorship of the general public and the White House running it. Trump didn't do that, but it got really bad under Biden.
Well, and the censorship, which we now know with the Twitter files and other things that have been exposed and various FOIA documents, but also the mandates. Mandates, we did not clearly have the bioethical standing to mandate a vaccine that we now know had really serious problems in the studies. And even the bioethical claims, which is you're going to prevent other people from getting infected, you're going to save the hospital system. None of those things were true. One of those, and I would argue that the same thing is going on right now. My question is, you are mandating a black vaccine platform, the mRNA vaccine platform. You're requiring people to get that. why aren't you as enthusiastic about the whole viral vaccines like Covaxin or Novavax, older platforms that have equal efficacy? Novavax has some of the problems of the mRNA vaccine too, by the way. But why are we even talking about those? Why are there only two brands, literally two brands, all you are mandating all the way down to the age of into early childhood? What is that all about? And why are we not talking about these other vaccine platforms? It's suspicious. Well, it's worrisome.
It is. I want you to elaborate.
Problems.
Start over. That was a key part. I interrupted with another question. Go back to how this is suspicious.
Well, it's suspicious in that I'm been concerned about the fact that we took and directed the vaccines to produce spike protein or to attack the spike protein, right? So the mRNA vaccine is producing spike protein. We know that the predominant pathogenic mechanism, what makes us so ill from COVID, is the spike protein. Why would we insist on using vaccines that cause the body to produce a lot of spike protein? I understand early in the fight, it was a very efficient way to do this, and good on you for having done it. But why are we mandating it now when there are whole viral particles in vaccines that can give you immunity to the entire virus, more than just the spike protein, and you aren't producing so much spike protein, which is what we worry about as being pathogenic? And what we now know in people that have this long vaccine and all these severe vaccine reactions, it is about the persistent reaction to spike protein.
All right, we got to go to break here in about a minute, but I want to come back and flesh that out because, well, let me start asking the question now. You think about it during the break. Dr. Drew, I'm not a doctor, but I know classic, you know, vaccines were attenuated or damaged or a virus that couldn't replicate. So your body gets to face just a little bit of it and learn how to beat it. And there can still be side effects or issues, but that's a real science, and, you know, it's a big, big breakthrough. 500 years old, as you know, with the you know, cows and the smallpox pus with basically a toothpick. But now a vaccine is a gene therapy that tells your body to replicate and make something. That sounds like what a virus does, not what a vaccine does. So I want you to define what you call these things, or should they be called vaccines? Then I want to pull up the news article so I get it right. But last week I was reading that the FDA is trying to push or mandate or recommend 3 COVID shots in the first 9 months for babies. What is that about? Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, and he is on the board of the Wellness Company. And folks, they're an amazing sponsor. They got everything you need for telemedicine and more. Not just stuff for COVID. You need to stock up on everything in case there's an emergency. Onlinehealthnow.com. Onlinehealthnow.com. Amazing, amazing folks. We'll be right back.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome.